WGCH, WGCH.com, anywhere. The WGCH National News Report on the hour at 8. I'll be back with our top local stories at 8:05. And busy 8 o'clock hour, we get our real estate report coming up at 8:20 with Stacy Lowe, Brian Tunney from the Greenwich Association of Realtors, and then at Greenwich Board of Estimate Taxation Budget Committee Chair Leslie Tarkenton at the bottom of the hour with a meeting recap. WGCH News Center Time 7:52 and third Thursday of each month, we check in with State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. Good morning, Senator. Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
All right. Good. Let's get right to it. Let's get spending under control in the state legislature. Tell us about that and could be some tax cuts there.
Yeah. So last week, the full legislature went into session to pass a fiscal deal that extended some of the budget and spending guardrails that were put into place in 2017. Back in 2017, there was a tie, 18-18, between Democrats and Republicans in the state Senate. My predecessor, Scott France, was the co-chair of the Finance Committee. And after a long standoff over the budget, there were ideas in the Republican proposed budget that were adopted in a compromise budget, which was passed, that imposed guardrails on spending and bonding and created a support for a rainy day fund. And that has helped us limit tax increases since, and it's put us in a stronger fiscal position today. So those expired, and currently we were, in the past year, we were debating whether to extend them or not. The governor was, and the Republican caucus was in favor of doing it for 10 years. Some of the Democrat leaders in the state Senate, less. The speaker, probably a little bit more. So we had came to a compromise of 5 years to extend the fiscal controls, the budgetary controls that have put us in a better fiscal state and limited tax increases and spending in the state. So I voted in favor of it. I spoke in favor of it. There was also some other good parts, like increased spending for special education. So, you know, you got to be in a strong fiscal state so you can fund vital social services like special education and other important items. So that was the deal we came to. You know, didn't get everything we wanted, but I think it was a positive step.
All right. You were in Groton earlier this week for announcement or bill proposal that would that pharmacists would be able to make prescriptions for contraceptives for women. Tell us about that.
Correct. So our proposal follows the lead of 20 other states across the country that have adopted this policy. Senator Heather Summers and I introduced SB 171, which will expand access to birth control for women. The traditional oral contraceptives, it allows trained pharmacists to prescribe the medication. Obviously, it's something that's been around for over 60 years. And this is a policy that's worked well in the 20 states that have adopted it. In California, which is the first or one of the first to adopt it, there is a survey that showed that 74% of women have availed themselves of this option. It's supposed to give people more choice and access. It doesn't force anyone to choose a certain course or another, but it's something that has improved access for women and given them more options. So it's gotten bipartisan support, and we look forward to moving it forward in the legislature this year.
All right, let's talk about the higher energy electric bills coming out now, and Pura and Deep, should Deep be and Pura be separate, not relying on the other? I mean, tell us about that. What's happening with that?
So it's an open question. I'm the ranking member of the Energy Committee, and we have a very busy term ahead. Obviously, these electricity bills that we all got this month are obscenely expensive, but we also know that the electricity bills we pay in Connecticut have been far too expensive for far too long. So me and another colleague released a six-point proposal that aims at reducing energy costs, electricity costs in particular, and strengthening the oversight of PURA, which is the Public Utilities Regulatory Authority, over our electric utilities so we can protect consumers better. It's a six-point plan, seven-point plan, and one of the parts is to separate PURA, which is the regulatory authority for the utilities, from the policymaking department of the executive branch in the state government, which is the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, because we think that giving more discretion and authority to the body that's primarily charged with overseeing utilities and protecting consumers will make it stronger and will enable us to crack down on utilities when they are in the wrong even better. So, again, we think the plan could reduce costs for, by over $200 for consumers in the short run and more in the long run, and also protect consumers from abuses by utilities.
All right. Something we've seen on the federal level in Congress here in the state now, banning TikTok and WeChat from state-owned devices. Tell us about that and where that's going.
So that's another bill that I submitted and didn't know it, but the Senate Majority Leader, obviously, who's a member of a different party, submitted a very similar bill. This is, other states have embarked on this road. It's a better safe than sorry policy. First of all, I don't think any state employee needs TikTok on their state-issued work phone in the first place. But again, these are large corporations that are controlled by the government in China. They have the ability to collect and retain enormous amounts of data. And you know, we don't know exactly what they're doing, or we know what they can do, but we don't know what they're doing with it. But we think it's better safe than sorry on our government phones and our government-issued devices. There's no reason to have TikTok or WeChat being like the WhatsApp of China on the phones. So we think this is a common sense, better safe than sorry security measure for the state government.
And then finally, seems to be a lot going on now on the housing front, affordable housing. Tell us about some of the proposals there.
So there's good and there's bad proposals in the state government. Maybe I'm biased, but I submitted three bills to change 830G and increase the local control we have over housing and zoning policies. And I co-introduced it with a Democrat state representative from Bethel as well. So there's bipartisan proposals on the table on this front as well. I'm not sure where they'll go. The housing committee leadership is, I don't know how friendly they are to it, but we're going to work hard to try to build bipartisan support. At the same time, there's bad proposals that want to take away even more of our local control on the table in front of the Planning and Development Committee and the Housing Committee. And if you go to my state website, SenatorFazio.com, you can sign up for my email newsletters, and I'll be sending out information about opportunities to publicly testify for or against bills that will reform 830G, that will, some of which will increase our local input over our housing policies, and some of which will take away even more of it. So this is an important time as these bills begin to be debated and move through the legislative process to hear from the public.
All right. State Senator Ryan Fazio joins me Thursday mornings, third Thursday of the month at this time. Thanks very much for your time, Senator Fazio, and be well.
Thanks, Tony. Have a good one.